Well, God bless you. Wonderful to have the opportunity to share God's word with you. I'm titling what I'm sharing with you, Living a Spiritual Life. Last Friday, there were some things working on my heart that I believe God wanted me to share at some point. And then this past Monday, Al Segovia shared about utilizing the Spirit of God, which was along the same lines that things were working on my heart. And I was so blessed that he encouraged us to stir it up and to remember that it's forever and that it's like a Swiss Army knife. It has so many facets and things that we can draw off of that Spirit. We have 9 manifestations. So having the Spirit of God in us is huge. And I want to really dive even deeper into the heart of the Spirit of God that we have and share how huge it really is to the Christian believer. And my goal is to present this material to you to the extent that you will treasure the Spirit of God that's in you and utilize it more than ever before. Now, the Spirit that we received at the new birth is not something that God gave us so we had something to do on Sundays, but it's 24/7, and it's huge, it's big, it's a resource that is so phenomenal. If we realized it, we would be using it all the time. And let's think about the beginning, in the beginning, what God did for companionship. Now, God had angels to hang out with, but he evidently wanted more. So he made natural man? No, not really, not yet. Because the first thing he did was to put spirit in man. He wanted a spirit-filled man, so he created in man that image, his spirit. God is spirit, as it says in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And then, of course, we took on body, soul. You know, sometimes we say we have body, soul, and spirit. I think first we have spirit, mm-hmm. then body and soul. Mm-hmm. You know, and what was the enemy, Satan's attack on man, right in the beginning there in Genesis? Was it on man's natural body, his body and soul? He was trying to get rid of the spirit, wasn't he? He tried to eliminate the Spirit of God that God had put in man. And he succeeded, unfortunately. But God, thankfully, loved us so much that he worked through the ages to the point that he could send his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that he could pay the ultimate price, so that we could get that spirit relationship back with God. And that's what really counts, that Spirit of God that we have resident within us. In John chapter 6, take a look at John chapter 6 and verse 63. And in this verse, and I'm using the King James, it says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." And the word quickeneth is the old English for makes alive. It's the spirit that really makes life. The flesh profiteth how much? Nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now we go to John chapter 7, verse 38. And in this verse he says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." You know, on the day of Pentecost, the gift of Holy Spirit was made available. It was eternal life. It was what God dreamed of, and that's what he originally desired, that man would have spirit within him. God is spirit, John 4:24. And so when we utilize that spirit in us, we can have that sweet fellowship with the Heavenly Father. Well, let's take a look at chapter 16. Chapter 16 in John, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. So obviously we know the Comforter is that gift of Holy Spirit, the Encourager, and it gives us really a real life to live. Without the Spirit, we're nothing. We're zero. Now, I know we've got this fleshly body that we're involved with and deal with day in and day out, but what really counts, what really makes life worth living, is the Spirit of God that you have in you. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. There's some great things here in chapter 8 of Romans. We're going to look at verse 4 through 10. So Romans 8, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You know, we get so wrapped up in our flesh life, and so we get the results of the flesh life. But if we could really grab our minds and live after the Spirit, then we're going to get the results of living by the Spirit. Well, let's move on. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I mean, there it is, right there. We want to tap into the spiritual aspect of our life. That's what really counts. That's what gives us eternal life. That's what gives us a connection to God Almighty. And as we stay spiritually minded, we have this life and peace abundantly within our being. Let's move on. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The flesh does not tickle God's fancy. It's the Spirit that really counts for him. Well, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. You know, we're born again. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. We believe in our heart God raised him from the dead. We have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. As the verse goes on, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So what really counts in our relationship with God is the spiritual connection we have. And finally, verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Isn't that fantastic? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Jeffrey Moore did a wonderful sharing on this chapter a couple weeks ago, I think it was. We're going to look at some of the verses here. We're going to start in verse 6 through 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Now the princes of this world are the devil spirit world. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It's a secret. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto whose glory? Our glory. God had a secret. He had a mystery that he didn't tell anybody. No angels, nobody knew it. And he held on to it. He ordained it before the world unto our glory. That speaks highly of what we're talking about here, the spiritual nature that we have within. which none of the princes of this world knew. None of the devil spirits knew about it. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, if the devil spirit world knew what we would have today with the Spirit of God within, the Christ in us, nine manifestations, eternal life, the fullness of the power of God in us, they would not have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's read on. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But, the next verse, but God has revealed them. You know, he has revealed them to us. It's not like we haven't seen it or heard it, but God has revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. You see how big this is? For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Man, when we appreciate and realize what we have being born again of Holy Spirit, we can have access to everything that God has freely given to us. Isn't that fantastic? Well, let's jump back to Romans chapter 8. I want to go back there to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 11. We're going to pick it up in verse 11 in Romans. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, as a result of this, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. You know, it seems like today everybody's debtors to the flesh. We live so much by the flesh. We're so concerned about what's going on in the five senses world. And we need to be debtors of the Spirit. That's what really counts in life. The Spirit of God, the things that God has done for us via the Spirit. Well, let's read on. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What a beautiful title. We are sons of God. Isn't that fantastic? And all of you that are parents that have children, you are just so proud to have those kids. And I know God is proud to have us. And he's so loving and wonderful. He's given us the Spirit so that we can have eternal life with him. All right, I'm going to read on here. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Daddy, Daddy. Abba is that Aramaic word for daddy or father. It's a real intimate term. And that's we call God Father. He's our daddy. What a relationship we have. And it's all because of the Spirit of God that we have in us. And finally, the last verse here, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, when we operate the Spirit of God, it demonstrates that we are his children. When you speak in tongues, you know you have the Spirit of God in you. And so you know you are a child of God. For me, that was just the greatest revelation that healed my heart. I was so hungry to know about God and life. And when I found out that I had the proof without a shadow of a doubt that I was his child, it just blew my heart away. God is so rich, so wonderful and loving. Well, we've seen some great scriptures here on the value and the greatness of the Spirit. But what about how can I walk by the Spirit more? What's some practical application of how to walk by the Spirit? Well, I'm just going to give you three simple little keys here. First, learn more about the Spirit in you via God's Word. Study God's Word. Learn about what the Spirit can do. What are the nine manifestations? How do you operate these manifestations? What are examples that you can see in God's Word where men of God operated the Spirit, where they had word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits? They had that faith to raise people from the dead. They did healings, miracles. See, all these great things. Learn about them by studying God's Word. And number two, ask God to teach you. Ask God to work with you. You know, when I first learned these things, I took a Bible class in Ohio a number of years ago that taught me about walking by the Spirit. And so the class was over. I drove back from Ohio to North Carolina by way of Washington, D.C., and I was heading south on 95. Now, Route 95 on the East Coast is like 5 is to us here in California and all the way up to Canada. It's the main highway. And a hurricane had gone through in the past days and was causing a lot of flooding in that whole area, the eastern seaboard. But the weather was sunny now, and we were moving down the highway, and all of a sudden we stopped, and there was cars lined up, and I got out of our car. People were getting out of their cars. I walked up the hill, looked over the hill, and there were miles and miles of cars stopped on the freeway. And I'm going, what in the world? In a few moments, a police car came by, and he was announcing that the bridge ahead had washed out in the floods, and nobody was going anywhere. Well, I need to get back to North Carolina. So I said, well, God, Father, help me out. How can I get back there? And so I turned around. I got through the medium there and went north and got off the first turnoff. And God directed me these backcountry roads. I've never been on them. And got me around this flooded area, and 50 miles later, I was able to reconnect on 95, and off I went to North Carolina. And I think I was the only one that made it that day. But I didn't have GPS like we have today, right? We have a GPS, but I had spiritual GPS, God Positioning Service.
Okay.
He told me where to go. Well, the third little key, use it. Use it. You've heard the axiom, use it or lose it, right? Well, use the Spirit. Speak in tongues much. Expect God to talk to you. Get involved in praying for people and asking God what's going on. And I think sometimes using the Spirit's like getting new basketball shoes. Now, I used to play quite a bit of basketball, and my shoes would wear out. I'd need a couple new pair every year. And when I needed a new pair, they were uncomfortable because the old pair were so comfortable. I was used to wearing them, and they fit me perfect. But I put on the new pair, and they were stiff and a little clumsy. But you know what I did? I just took a few days to put on the new shoes and wore them for a few times, and I got used to them, and they became normal. And I think spiritually the same thing. If we're going to walk by the Spirit, let's use it. Let's operate the Spirit that we know how. Do that, and God will help us along the way. All right? So I trust you see how vital and important the Spirit of God is that's in you. It's a treasure. And God wants you to walk with Him. God wants you to utilize His Spirit. He wants to see you minister healing to people. He wants you to listen to Him. He wants to talk to us. He wants us to do signs, wonders, and miracles. He's itching to do that. We just need to ask Him and be expecting that He will do it. Okay? So treasure that Spirit in you. Walk with Him, and God will bless you big time. All right?
Wonderful.
God bless you.
Thank you.